December is here, and Christmas, of course, is just around the corner. And if you have kids at home, you're likely already experiencing the anticipation the season brings while wondering how to make this a meaningful time. This morning, one of our favorite guests, mom of six, Marilee Bradley, is joining us to help us navigate this busy season. Marilee, good morning, and welcome back to the conversation.
I usually try and take a few minutes to prep before we get talking, and I just have to tell you, if I sound a little frazzled, my five-year-old decided to cut bangs into her curly hair this morning. this is a first for me as a parent, so yes, it has been a fun morning at my house.
You know, Marilee, we're going to talk about Christmas a little bit this morning. We live in a culture where stores have started decorating for Christmas early in November, some probably even in October. You know, Pinterest has all kinds of ideas about how to decorate and make your Christmas magical, you know, for your children. So
right.
with all this pomp and circumstance around Christmas, what kind of challenges does that create for moms?
Oh, I have had to accept that I feel like I am bad at Christmas, that I fail at Christmas because I am not that kind of mom. And I feel like Christmas asks us to be the decorator mom and the baker mom and the gift giver mom. And for some of us, that's just not who we are. So I think for me, it's been a challenge to kind of reorient my perspective to think I can't be bad at Christmas if I love Jesus. I can't be failing at Christmas if that's what I'm trying to instill in my kids. But I think culturally, Christmas looks really different from what it looks like spiritually.
You know, Marilee, it can be so easy for us just to get kind of swept along by our culture and get involved in all kinds of Christmas activities and trends. And it can be a pretty stressful time of year if we're not careful. How can we be more intentional about what we focus our time and energy on during Christmas?
Dan, I feel like every time we talk, you and I come back to the same phrase of yours that I love, that we begin with the end in mind.
Mm.
And I think that's taken me some years to figure out, even with Christmas, because sometimes I'd get to like January 1st and think, what just happened to us? Like, how did we let everything else in the world dictate what this season looked like instead of thinking about what our family priorities were, the memories we wanted to create with our kids, and what ideally we want that to look like? So I think pushing back against that kind of cultural pressure of Christmas requires us as a family saying, what are we about at this time of year? What's important to us? And really prioritizing those things.
Marilee, you were just giving some great advice a few moments ago about beginning with the end in mind. To get a vision of what you want Christmas to look like instead of just being impressed upon you what others think Christmas should be about and what it should look like. Paint the picture for us for the Bradley household. As you guys have thought about that, what's the picture that you guys have in mind of how you want Christmas to be for your family?
I think we obviously want Jesus to be at the center. And what that looks like can be different at different moments and in different seasons of our family. I think that's been kind of hard for me to accept, too, is that what it looked like when they were all toddlers is very different now than what it looks like when we've got a middle schooler down to a four-year-old. But just saying, what does it mean at this time for Jesus to be at the center of our Christmas celebration? And so that looks like spending intentional family time together, doing things that we enjoy. And that looks like making sure we're at church for the Christmas Eve service or, you know, at Christmas Day, whenever it is that our church is doing something and that our kids are participating in the church Christmas program. We want to prioritize some of those things that help keep our kids focused on what Christmas is supposed to mean.
You know, Marilee, as we're talking about Christmas this morning and just making some good selections about what things that we should be involved with, not getting overwhelmed and stressed, but letting it be a meaningful and purposeful time, there's a lot of wisdom to being very intentional about creating traditions, not just letting, in a sense, traditions happen haphazardly because we might end up regularly doing something that's not very meaningful to us, right? But as you think about traditions, I'd love to hear your heart a little bit about the strategicness or the value of establishing traditions in your family.
I like to imagine what the conversation is going to be like 30 years from now when my kids are sitting around their own dinner tables with their own families and they're going to say, in my family, we always did this. And what do I want that to be? What do I want that conversation to be like? What do I want them to have remembered from these years? And try to create those moments and experiences and opportunities for that kind of fun and joy to happen for our family. And so I think it's that idea of what do we want our kids to remember about what Christmas was like. And those are the traditions we want to emphasize.
So Marilee, we're talking about traditions a little bit in our family. There are some things that are very intentional that become traditions, but sometimes there are things that in the heart and the minds and the eyes of kids, they become traditions just because of the delight that they took in them. What are some of the things that have become traditions because of your children and the way that they so responded to it?
We accidentally one year went and saw Christmas lights. There was a house outside of town. It took a big drive. We got the kids in their pajamas, and then we all drove out to see this house. And it was like every year after that, of course, we have to do that. That was so important to the kids. And so now it's become a thing that we do, that we'll go get coffee and we'll go get cookies for the kids, and then we will just drive out and go see these Christmas lights, and we'll hit up a couple different houses. And it's been such a sweet thing, but that wasn't something I grew up doing. It wasn't something we intentionally meant to do. It was just something we did that one time, and the kids just totally latched onto that, which was so sweet to see. And then in our family, we also do a sibling gift exchange, and that's been one of their favorites too. They could tell you exactly what they got every year for the sibling gift exchange, because it's the most precious gift that they got. Because we've got six kids, they all draw names, and so they have one sibling to buy for, and they've got a little budget, and then we'll take them out individually to go do their shopping, and then they wrap it up, they put it under the tree. And that's just one of our favorite parts of Christmas now, is to get to see the wonder and joy of buying, wrapping, and then getting to share that with their sibling.
Marilee, you know, one way to think about Christmas is a Christmas party, right? Jesus' birthday. Children love birthday parties. Is there some way that you kind of leverage that picture of a party and birthday party for Jesus with your kids?
We started doing several years ago a birthday cake for Jesus. So this is the dessert we have when we celebrate Christmas, and there's a lot of symbolism in it. The bottom layer is a chocolate cake, and we talk about sin. And the middle layer is red. We put a little red dye in that, and we talk about the blood of Jesus. And then the top layer is green, and we talk about the growth that we have in Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of like the wordless book in cake form, which is delicious. We frost the whole thing white, and then we put our little nativity characters on the top, and we'll cut everybody a slice. They get a candle. We pass the light from person to person, and then we literally sing happy birthday to Jesus. This has been such a powerful thing, I think, for our kids to remind them what we're actually doing. And we talk about how the wise men brought gifts to Jesus and how we're having that same celebratory spirit in our gift giving. So I think it does help them understand, you know, why is Christmas a party? Why do we do gifts at Christmas? Well, we want them to understand this may not have been the actual day that Jesus was born, but this is how we're going to celebrate it.
Marilee, we're just talking about kids and Christmas, and obviously when our kids are super young, it's all about the parents kind of creating those moments and those memories and being very intentional. As our kids get older, they can get involved, right? They can begin to help in the planning and the development of Christmas and the Christmas experience. What are some ways that we can involve them?
That's been such a relief for me, because it's all been this burden on me to try and create this. And now for a couple years, we didn't have any outdoor lights, and my kids are always complaining about that. And this last year, my boys were old enough. I was like, fine, you do it. And so they did. They went out on the front porch and they strung up lights, and it was beautiful. And they took so much pride in that. So I think finding out what things are important to your kids that they can help with or that they might want to do. My kids love decorating their own rooms. So I just have a stash of ornaments and nativities, and they go nuts. And I don't supervise that. I don't tell them what is too much. I just let them do what they want to do in there. And that's been so sweet to see them do it. And I think, too, on the topic of what we feel as parents we have to do for our kids, I think it can be so good to delegate. My kids do Christmas baking at grandma's house because I don't want to do it. I don't want to handle that mess and the powdered sugar and everything else. And so getting other adults in your world to help and help your kids do that, I think, can be really positive.
Merely between Christmas commercials on TV and Christmas ads filling our mailboxes and people asking our children, what do you want for Christmas? You know, it's so easy for it to become a very self-focused thing and focused on receiving. What are some things that you found helpful in cultivating a spirit of giving in your children at Christmas?
I think the first step to cultivating that spirit of giving is actually to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. I think that kind of has to come first, that the kids understand the sacrifice it was for someone to give them something, that they honor that, they express thankfulness to whoever gave them something, that that's kind of where all of that starts. And when you have that heart of thankfulness, then I think you become a good giver, a joyful giver. But for my kids, that's meant we play a game every year called What If You Got This for Christmas? And I will name off terrible gifts. and they have to practice saying thank you and finding something positive to say, because we want them to learn how to be thankful. So I'll say, what if you open your big Christmas present and it's a can of tuna? And they're like, thank you for this can of tuna. I'm like, yes, perfect. And we don't want them to be dishonest, but we want them to recognize what it cost someone else, the thought that went into it, that a gift from someone is an act of love. And when they get that, then I think they can be good gift givers.
Part of cultivating a spirit of giving in our children can be helping children be aware of others whose circumstances are different than their own. Is there a way that your family has helped your children be aware of others?
This is one of my favorite Christmas traditions at this point, and it started accidentally a couple years ago. We had a friend named Matt at church, and he wasn't able to go home, so we just invited him to spend Christmas at our house. Christmas Day for us is really low-key. We do most of our big celebrating on Christmas Eve, so we said, you can come over. We're just eating hot dogs in our pajamas, and we're playing board games. And he was like, yes, I am in. That is the Christmas that I want. So Matt spent Christmas with us for several years, and we've kind of turned Matt Christmas into a thing that we do for whoever might need a place to come hang out. And my kids love it. We love it. We buy a stocking for whoever comes and we put gifts in it. And it's just been a sweet way to remind our kids that everybody loves being with family, and we can be a family to people who maybe can't be with their own family for whatever reason.
Marilee, there are years when the unexpected happens and our families face kind of some hard times during the Christmas season, things that just don't feel as magical as they typically do around Christmas. So how can we help our children if we are in that or we experience that? How can we help our children process challenging and unexpected events mixed in with our Christmas celebrations?
I think that is the beauty of the actual Christmas story. That it was a challenging time. It was hard circumstances. Even a birth process is difficult, and what Jesus came here to do was difficult. And so I think there is a sober spirit in some ways to Christmas. And I think those years when things are hard, that's what we want to talk to our kids about. They're beautiful Christmas carols that acknowledge the reality of the hard in Christmas. And I think we see those things differently when we go through hard times. And it's okay for our kids to have sad feelings or to have struggles at Christmas. And we don't just want to put a silver lining on everything, but to talk to them about the redemptive nature of Christmas and of what Jesus came to do.
So, Marilee, do you have a favorite Christmas song?
I like We Three Kings, that it goes through the three gifts that the kings brought and kind of explains the symbolism of that, which I didn't understand at all until I was an adult. I just like the Star of Wonder. You know, that's easy to remember. But seeing all the beauty and symbolism in that song, I can hardly get through it without crying anymore, which has just been a sweet development of what seemed really familiar and classic and then getting some kind of new richness to it as an adult. I also like that one of my kids thought it was Frankenstein instead of frankincense, and he sung it Frankenstein every single time we did it. So it's a good one.
Marilee, as I think about Christmas memories, you know, we can have fun memories, we can have funny memories, we can have hard memories. Do you have a memory for you of a Christmas past that was just special in the sense of your sense of connection with Jesus?
I have a very literal one. we had a baby born. Our Joel was born on Christmas Eve, almost 7 years ago now. And he was a long-awaited child that we didn't think was ever going to come. And I think even through my whole pregnancy, I didn't really believe it was going to work. I didn't really believe at the end of this we would get to see his face, because we'd been through so much loss. And so being there, you know, in the operating room on December 24th and having this baby placed on my chest, this good gift from a God who loves to give good gifts. It was just such beautifully perfect timing that I would never have anticipated. It just brought to life, you know, what Mary went through, just the terror of birth, that this was a real struggle and that we had really struggled through it, and what a gift it is on the other side to hold this life in your arms and just to think about what it meant to her to be a mother and the great weight of that life that she was tasked with caring for. As you can imagine, extremely emotional. But I would never have asked for a Christmas baby, but I was so thankful for how God pulled all those pieces together to help us understand the gift of a son in a new way.
Marilee, thanks so much for providing, as usual, some really great insight and some neat ways to help us make our family time more special. Have a wonderful Christmas, and thanks for joining us this morning.
It's been so much fun. Thanks for having me.